someday, this tongue inside this body will be silent. Someday, this heart in my chest will beat its final beat. Someday, the breath in this body will breathe its last, and this body will collapse into a heap. Death comes to all of us. No one escapes it. It's the most democratic thing on the face of the earth. It includes everyone of all time. It allows no discrimination. It tolerates no exceptions. You're probably familiar with Benjamin Franklin saying, "Nothing in life is certain except death and taxes." A family's beloved cat got run over by a car, and it died. And the mother quickly disposed of the remains before her four-year-old son, Ethan, found out. A few days went by, though, and Ethan one day said, "Mom, where's the cat?" The mom said, "Ethan, I'm sorry to tell you that the cat died, but it's all right. God has a special place for him. Do you have any questions?" Ethan said, "Yes, just one. Why in the world would God want a dead cat?" Whether the genius or the rich or the poor or the... no one outruns it. Death is there. No one outsmarts it. We all die. Nearly two people a second, which works out about 6,000 people every hour, 155,000 every day, 57 million a year die. We all die, no matter what we do. The finest surgeons can enhance your life, but they cannot prevent your death. You can pop all the vitamins, eat all the green veggies that you can take, stay out of the sun, stay away from alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, and you can improve the quality and the length of your life, but you will never eliminate that death will come. It's a story of a man and his wife that died in a car accident, and they were, of course, believers, so they went right to heaven, and as they walked around, they said, "Look how beautiful and wonderful heaven is." And the husband looked at her, he said, "And to think, we could have been here much earlier if you hadn't fed me all those bran muffins." Death is called the great equalizer. It comes to all persons, rich or poor, pauper or king. No matter who you are, the fact is, everyone will die. The saying goes like this: come he slow or come he fast, it is but death who comes at last. And the Bible is very clear and honest about death. The topic appears many times. Ecclesiastes 3, we're familiar with things like, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die." Genesis 3:19 says, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Ecclesiastes 8:8 adds, "No one has the power over the wind to restrain the wind or power over the day of death." In Psalm 89:48 it says, "Who can live and not see death, or who can escape the power of the grave?" Young or old, good or bad, rich or poor, no gender spared, no person exempted. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto us once to die, and after that to face judgment." A doctor was in the third world working, and a visiting professor went to see his work, and he noticed a lot of sickness and illness around there, and he asked the doctor, he said, "What is the death rate around here?" The doctor said, "Same as any place else, one death per person." Sometimes the idea of death, though, makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes we fear death. The saying that says, "People fear death as children fear the dark." It's kind of the unknown. Another saying, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But we all do. For some of us today, the reality of death is way too fresh, way too real. Maybe we're for the first Easter without someone, a dear loved one who's died within this last year. I lost my mom last May. Or we are struggling with the death of a loved one that died some time ago, and we're still working our way through that. But because of that first Easter morning, if we and our loved ones know Christ as our Savior and friend, our view of death can be changed to a fear not. Fear not. Max Lucado gives us a transition in these words he writes. What if this is just the first chapter of our? What if this is just the first sentence of the first chapter of our? What if this is just the first word of the first sentence of the first chapter of our? What if this is the first letter of the first word of the first sentence of the first chapter of our eternity? What if when we die in Jesus, we're just getting started? This is the promise of Easter's. Fear not. It was Sunday morning after Friday's execution of Jesus. The enemies were confident that they had completed their work. They even ran a spear into the side of Jesus to make certain that his final breath was indeed his final breath. And his body was laid lifeless in a borrowed grave. The friends of Jesus had all forsaken him. They had fled. They went into hiding behind closed doors and windows, and for fear that there was a cross that bore their name. Even Peter, who followed him for a while from a distance, ended up denying him three times, denying even knowing Jesus, and then ran off into the darkness, weeping. Yet the enemies of Jesus were more concerned. In Matthew 27, 62 to 66, it says, "The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first.'" 65 says, "Take a guard," he said. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Now, this is the Roman seal they put across this. If anybody broke that seal, you're instantly executed. And that guard, this was their SWAT team of the day. They would not sleep. They would not move. They would not fidget. They would not allow anybody to come near it. If they did, it would be instant death for them. So they sealed the stone, stood the guard. It seemed like the enemy and the enemies had won. You know, the enemy Satan had attacked Jesus again and again throughout his ministry, trying to take him down, and he schemed and he plotted and he whispered in the ears of the enemies of Jesus to destroy him. And when Satan heard the words releasing Jesus to be executed, he shouted, "Yes!" Death and its father, Satan, were present when Jesus was laid on the old rugged cross. They shouted with glee as the brutal Roman soldiers placed nails in each hand and feet of Jesus. They laughed as the cross was lifted and dropped into place, tearing the flesh and tendons of the Lord. And after 3 hours of horrid suffering in body and soul, Jesus bowed his head and breathed his last. And a resounding celebration broke loose in hell. One of my favorite preachers is a pastor, E.V. Hill, a good black brother who I just loved his preaching. He did a sermon entitled, "Sunday's Coming." I'm just going to share some of the words he said about this moment as Jesus dies and hell is celebrating. The religious leaders mocked Jesus while he was on the cross. It's Friday. They don't know that Sunday's coming. Herod toyed with the Lord, but when Jesus wouldn't play along, Herod sold the Lord down the river. Herod mocked Jesus on Friday, but Sunday's coming. The crowd shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." It's Friday. Jesus is crucified, but Sunday's coming. Pilate thought he could wash his hands of the whole thing. It's Friday, but hey, governor, Sunday's coming. The soldiers beat Jesus and spat on him and pushed a crown of thorns on his head. It's Friday. They don't know that Sunday's coming. Satan and his minions jeered and shouted with glee on that dark Friday. They must have missed the prophecies. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And death, that enemy that has haunted humanity down through countless generations, death must have thought if he could take Jesus Christ down in the grave and hold him, death, you messed up, because it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Well, Sunday's here, and the grave is empty. Not the religious leaders, not Herod, not Pilate, not the bloodthirsty crowd crying, "Crucify him," not the soldiers, not Satan, and especially not death, can hold Jesus in the grave. Because Sunday came, amen? Death underestimated the person and the power of the Jesus who said, "Destroy this temple, and I will rise it up again in 3 days." And Satan's supposed victory and Satan's most powerful and dreaded weapon, death, was defeated. This Easter day is a day death died. The day Christ arose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Friends, on the day Christ rose from the grave, death for the Christian was defeated. Amen. Verse 28 says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. When the women came on that Sunday morning, they came to embalm Jesus' dead body. But God had other plans, for that's when God rocked the cemetery. Continues in Matthew 28, 2-6, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." There was that violent earthquake. The women stumbled while the earth shook under their feet. They looked toward the tomb, to the soldiers, to the guards, and the guards were shaken and scared and sprawled onto the ground as if they were dead. Isn't that ironic? Their job was to guard a dead man, and now they look like dead men. And the supposed dead man they were supposed to guard is alive. And the angel descended from heaven and flicked the rock aside and sat on it. I find that amusing. Most of the time when we see God send his angels, they are going to proclaim or to do war, and they're standing in great grand and glory. This one flicks the stone aside and sits on the rock. Note, he didn't have to move the rock to let Jesus out. Jesus had already arisen and was out of the tomb. The rock was moved, as he said, and instructed the women for all to see that Jesus is not here. He has risen. And he said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for a Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." There are two kinds of fear he wants to erase from them, I believe. First is, fear not what's happening right now, ladies. Fear not that you've seen me, an angel. I am here not for an annihilation, but for an announcement. Fear not the past horrible events that you have witnessed about your Lord Jesus. Fear not your aching hearts and your fears of what in the world is going on. Fear not that earthquake and these disoriented SWAT team guards. Fear not that you have come seeking a crucified and dead Jesus. Fear not that the stone is rolled away, that Jesus' dead body is not here. Fear not, for he is not here. Fear not, for he has risen, just as he said. Fear not, come and see the place where he had been laid. Why was the angel so insistent about this? Why was it so important that they lose their fear and they look in the tomb and that he invites them to realize, and as you pronounce, Jesus is risen? Well, if Jesus is just, as some want to say, a fond memory, then he's no different than any other one who has died. If he's not risen, then he's no different than any other leader of any other religion. If you go to Buddha's place of death, you find that his body was cremated and the relics were placed in monuments. Where Muhammad died, he's buried in the Mosque of the Prophet in Saudi Arabia. Even Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of the Christian Science Movement, who claimed there was no such thing as death, lies in a tomb outside of Boston. Fear not, for Jesus Christ is the only one whom death could not win over. Fear not. Fear not, for Jesus is the one in Revelation 1:18 who stated, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Fear not, for he is the one in Acts 1:9-11 where we see this setting. It says, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they gazed intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They said, as these disciples are just staring as Jesus goes further and further away, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? Listen, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have watched him go into heaven. Fear not, because Jesus has risen and ascended, and his body will not be found or seen until he returns, when he comes in his glorious return on that day. Amen? So fear not death. Jesus did not awaken from a sleeping coma. Jesus was not spiritually raised. The women or disciples did not see a ghost or experience a sentiment. His feet touched the ground. He spoke to them. They saw and touched his body and wounds. The very body that they had seen and known Jesus in and seen Jesus die in had risen. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In so doing, he completed the work that he came to do. To live, to love, to heal, for miracles, to bear our sins on the cross, pay their punishment with his sacrificial death, and to raise from the dead to bring us the promise and knowledge that all who have invited Christ into their hearts as their personal Savior and Lord will also rise from death with him. And what God did with his body, he will do with ours. He will turn it into an immortal body that will live and reign with him forever. He takes what you think is the end of your life, and it's only the beginning. Yes, we are all going to face death, but if we have Christ, we will not face it alone, and we do not have to face it in fear, because we will be with Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Then he asks, do you believe this? Because of his resurrection, if you have Jesus as your Savior, you will live eternally in his love and presence. Your body will die, but the you inside will never die. There's a man that got a new job at a factory. And as he was finishing his shift, he thought, you know, my first time home, it's kind of late at night. I hear that Joe, who got me this job here, who works about another hour longer than I do, he always told me he cuts through the cemetery. So I think I'll go through the cemetery. So he went through the cemetery, and as you know, there are no lights on in the cemetery. And he also didn't know there was a newly dug grave in the cemetery. So he's walking along, and boom, he went down this hole. And he scraped and he scrapped, and he tried to get out, and he couldn't get out. So he thought, oh, my buddy's coming by in about an hour. I'll just sit in the corner, and I'll hear him coming through and call out to him, and he'll help me out. So he went in the corner, and he fell asleep. Well, about an hour later, his buddy comes along, and he doesn't know there's a newly dug grave there either. And he falls in. He's scraping and scrapping, and he just can't get out. And he hears a voice from the corner says, you can't get out. But he did. Fear not. Jesus takes us out of the grave. Jesus takes the sting out of death. He removes the finality of it, the fear of it. Fear not. Fear not, it's beyond this world. Fear not. That's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord immediately. Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. When a believer dies, they immediately enter into the presence of God because of fear not. Knowing this, one in Christ no longer has to fear death. In his resurrection, Jesus dealt death a death blow. I had a great uncle of mine named Uncle Omer, had been a pastor all his life. I got to visit him within days of his death, and we're in the nursing home, and I said, Uncle Omer, I don't want you to leave. He said, David, don't hold me back. I'm going to be leaving a whole lot of trouble for a whole lot of glory. Amen. I've never forgotten that. If you have Jesus as your Savior, the risen Jesus is the one that will grant you what is beyond your imagination. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15 it says this, when the perishable body puts on the imperishable, and this mortal body puts on immortality, listen to this chant in here, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But what if you have never entrusted your soul to Christ? In every church, there are people who haven't done that, I like to say, yet. What if you never do? What if you say, I'll just face death on my own? I want you to know that everyone gets eternal life, but your decision to reject or accept the loving gift of Jesus that God sent determines where we will spend eternal life. God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his one and only Son to die and to rise for us all. And when we have Jesus, we have no fear in facing our death. Why, for heaven's sake, would any intelligent person reject that? You can say yes to Jesus today. No one can do it for you, and no one can keep you from doing it. You can say yes to Jesus. And when you do, the last day of your life will become the best day of your life. And what everyone else fears in their eventual death will be a fear not to you. Winston Churchill planned his own funeral. He had it all laid out elaborately, and he said, there's one final request. At the end of my funeral, I want to have two trumpeters up in the organ towers, the organ lofts, with the pipes. At the conclusion of the service, I want the first bugler to play taps, which means the end of the day. And while the last notes of that taps is fading and echoing through the church, I want the second bugler to start playing reveille, the song, "The Day Has Begun." Now that's a good funeral song for a Christian. Because in the hands of Jesus, death is not a crisis, it's just a corner. It's not a pit, it's a passageway. The famous Baptist pastor D.L. Moody used to say this, someday you're going to read in the paper that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. Amen. When you have the risen Jesus as your personal Savior, the same God who raised the Son Jesus from the dead will rise you also. And the same God who emptied the grave will empty yours. And the same God who shook that cemetery will shake them all. Because Jesus Christ has risen, fear not. In life, he is with you. Fear not. In death, because you are his. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for loving us enough to send Jesus, your only self and Son, to die for us and to rise for us. And Lord, I pray that every one of us have had that moment in our lives. We have come before that wonderful cross and that wonderful risen tomb and said, "Dear Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Please cleanse me from my sins. Come into my heart and my life. Make me your child now and forever. Take away my fear of being alone in this life. Take away my fear of being alone as I would breathe my last. Help me know that I will live and reign eternally with you and all others that love Jesus forever." We pray this and we rejoice in Jesus saying, "Fear not." And the angel saying, "Fear not." And us saying to one another, "Fear not, for Jesus has risen. And so shall we all who are in Christ." To Jesus' glorious name we pray and we praise, as all God's people say, amen.